Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Zone Running Schemes 201. Today we're going to be talking about outside zone. And specifically, I want to establish really early the difference between a gap blocking scheme and a zone blocking scheme. When we think of a zone scheme, the offensive line is moving in almost unison in a specific direction to try to maintain a zone on the field. It's almost like taking the center of the chessboard. They want to maintain an area in there that gives the running back an opportunity to choose a lane. Where in a gap running scheme, it's very specific as to this guard is going to this defensive player, and this tackle is taking on this player. It's far more specific. Is that a safe way of putting that, Ian?
Yeah, I think so. Gap is a little more direct, and zone is more, we're going to try to achieve this general, we have these general principles we're going to act by, and then we're going to take advantage of opportunities as they come. And gap is a little more, we're going to smash them on this specific, at this specific gap of the field, we're going to outnumber and smash them. And it is also theoretically flexible, but in broad strokes, it's more direct and intentional, maybe.
So why would a team major in zone? Why? What kind of profile of a team would you have to have to be one that majors in zone?
Well, zone gives you very clear, like, prototypes to look for across the line. Inside zone in particular, it is very simple. I don't want to get too much into it because we'll have an entire video on it. But when you run a strictly inside zone or outside zone scheme, you know what all your players kind of need to look like, what to be looking for in recruiting. And when you teach it, it just becomes about maximizing execution of the principles, which means that it can be easier to move players around to different positions to get the best five on the field. And you can get into master of one trade kind of impact on your overall team. The zone schemes are also extremely flexible. Like, there are NFL teams that try to run wide zone on like 50% of their play calls or something wild, or like 70% of their run calls are wide zone. That's just what they call outside zone. They're like, if we can be just total masters of outside zone, the scheme will have inherent flexibility in it that will allow us to draw up a million different plays and create a million different stress points that we can build the rest of our offense around.
When we think about outside zone, if I were a fan watching at home, what are some of the tenets or the characteristics of an outside zone play that I would almost instantly know that is exactly what's being executed?
It's not the running back running outside, which would be maybe your first instinct. The telltale sign of outside zone is when you see all the offensive linemen just as one unit, like you said, almost running laterally at the outset of the play before they engage in their blocks. So they're all just, the whole line is just going like this. If you can spot that, especially relative to what other zone plays look like inside zone or a gap or counter where you see linemen pulling from one place to another, that's the good indicator. With Texas, I will say, I sometimes watch all 22 of Texas on loop to figure out if it's inside or outside zone, and it is not as obvious for Texas.
Let's talk a little bit about the running back. With zone running scheme, the running back doesn't have a specific hole that they're driving toward. Is that correct?
That's right. They almost like a quarterback's progression. The most coaches teach it as a read, where they'll read the end man on the line of scrimmage, the defender, and if they see the color of his jersey, get outside of the blocks. So the line goes like this, right? And if they see color still maintaining outside of that, that means we didn't win the edge. You're going to end up cutting back. And then they go to the next guy and the guy after that, and they look to see where the defense has almost inevitably lost their gap.
So before the snap, the center is going to be calling a lot, giving the his linemen a lot of information. And one of the things that he's really pointing out there is where that Mike linebacker is. Why would it be important for the center to point out the Mike linebacker for the rest of the team?
That you'll see that teams do that a lot. Like even on pass plays, you'll see something like the quarterback or somebody point and identify the Mike. And usually that's just how they count the defenders when they're trying to figure out who's got who.
Right.
So it's like if it's zone left, we're all trying to go like this. For you, actually, I'm going to confuse myself with the mirror. It's okay. Then they're going to count. They're going to be like, that linebacker is the Mike linebacker. So the center needs to be on him, ideally. And that means that you need to be on the next guy. So if that's the Mike, who's the next guy over? That's my guy. If you're the tackle, okay, if that's the Mike, then like two guys over, whatever. However they count it or measure it, they will call that out to indicate, you know, who should you be expecting to block? Like theoretically, you're moving to block a zone, but realistically, the field is filled with large, fast, violent people. And you want to be aware of those fast, violent people so that you don't get surprised and run over by them. By the way, this is something that kind of makes the sign stealing stuff sort of funny, because people go into all this subterfuge to hide their signals or to steal signals or whatever. And then the players will just get up there and they'll just call out their combos.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it's not like, there's not quite as much guesswork as maybe all that would make you think.
With an outside zone scheme, is it more likely or more effective to run to one side of the field, either strong or weak side?
Well, in college, the hash marks are wide apart.
Yep.
So whenever the ball is lined up on a hash mark, which is most of the time, if you run to the short side of the field, you have less space to create lateral stress. And if you're under the wide side of the field, you have more space. So that is a bit of a bummer for majoring in outside zone in college, especially relative to the NFL where the hash marks are more narrow. So there's less discrepancy on field versus boundary and how much space is there. That's really the main. You got to be able to run it strong and weak or you're going to suck.
Well, and one of the other challenges, especially when compounded with the hash marks, is the idea that a lot of times this is being run out of the shotgun.
Yeah. The shotgun is also something that makes outside zone less appealing to college teams than NFL teams, because the running back ideally is threatening to just run around the edge on outside zone. And that's what he starts by doing. He starts by taking a wide path to threaten to run around the edge. And then as the defense overreacts to that, he usually ends up cutting back against the grain. Now, the trick with the shotgun is that if I'm standing next to the quarterback and then I get the ball like this at standstill, to then threaten realistically to win all the way around the other side of the edge is a little bit tricky.
I mean, you almost need to be a freak like Bijan in order to pull that
Bijan, yeah, Texas has actually gotten away with it pretty well with even not Bijan. I don't know why they're so good at it, although they're not very good at it against Georgia. So maybe that's a part of the limitation there, but yeah, it's ideally you'll run it from under center. So then the quarterback can get it to the running back further outside or from the pistol, which is like the shotgun, but the running back is lined up behind the quarterback. And then it still ends up mimicking the under center trajectory and angles of the play. But you'll see sometimes college teams that love to run outside zone will do it when they're in the pistol. But then if you're in the defense and you see them get into the pistol, then guess what? They're probably going to run outside zone.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I want to look at an example of this, but before we do, I want to hear from our sponsor.
This video is brought to you by Lux Kitchen and Bath. Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook, and an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
All right, walk us through a little bit about what we're seeing pre-snap here.
This was one of Texas's favorite ways to run outside zone. They're in 11 personnel, so they have one tight end and one running back. That's what the 1-1 and 11 personnel indicates. And because they only have one tight end, that means they have a receiver, DeAndre Moore, who you can see go in motion. And what they would like to do is motion DeAndre Moore back and forth across the formation, and you can see the defenders are moving back and forth across the formation in response. Because if he's on this side of the field, then this guy's got to cover him and worry about that. But if he's on this side of the field, then either you got to chase him over there to cover him, or you got to hand off that coverage responsibility to somebody else, right? So those what seem like mindless shifts by the slot receiver back and forth, they're forcing the defense to change their assignments on the spot. And what you're hoping to do there is either the defense will line up in the way that they think is optimal, right? And then you motion, maybe they're not in the optimal alignment anymore. Maybe they line up a quick guy to be outside the box covering your slot receiver, and then you motion him, and all of a sudden his new responsibility is to fit a cutback lane on a downhill running back, and that's not so great.
Right.
So they would do that. The other thing that was very characteristic for Texas this last year with outside zone is they would run it as a split zone play. So it'd be split flow, meaning some blockers would go one way and some blockers would go the other way. Specifically, all of the linemen on this play are going to the right, but the tight end is going back across the left. And that way they don't have some one lineman that's like awkwardly like standing pat on the backside. They have somebody who's going to block the backside in with some movement and some momentum. And then his job, Gunnar Helm, which he was good at, is to seal that guy on the backside and prevent him from filling. See, he paused it at the perfect spot because you can see an enormous cutback lane that has emerged. And that cutback lane would not be there if, I don't remember for sure, well, for sure because Gunnar Helm was blocking the edge and sealing him outside. And maybe also because the motion has this little guy that's further outside of that, worried about the slot and not able to get over in time. And so big running lane ensues for, was this Jarrett Gibson, I think. For the offensive line, if you can start it over, the right tackle, if you can pause it, the right tackle is trying to get to the outside shoulder of that edge that he's blocking. And usually that doesn't successfully happen. That guy can maintain his space, and at which point the tackle then just goes, okay, fine. It just starts pushing him to the sideline. The other guys inside are trying to, each lineman is ideally trying to block the guy that's like one guy down from him. So in an ideal world, Jake Majors ends up blocking this guy that Cole Hudson is blocking right now. And I think they actually did successfully achieve that. And on the backside, same thing. You want Banks to be able to get so far lateral that he ends up blocking this backside defensive tackle and then allowing Hayden Connor to go up and hit somebody else. So they hit all those marks. We picked this play for a reason. They were able to reach all these guys. Mississippi State was able to push over to try to obstruct the path, but at the expense of the cutback lane. If you watch the Texas A&M game, Texas is doing this for big, big chunks of yardage. Clemson was pretty helpless against this. The two things that are most important on this play are the lateral agility of the offensive line. Everybody needs to be good at these lateral steps and taking them without letting guys just run past them or run through them while they're moving sideways. So you need lateral quickness and good. You can't just run sideways either. You have to do it with the right footwork so that people don't run through you. And then you need great cohesion across all five guys. Because when everybody's moving in such an extreme fashion to move who blocks who, then everybody needs to be clear on who blocks who, right? Like if you're trying to trade a guy, if the guy across from you, you want the next guy over to end up blocking him, then there needs to be very clear communication on if you're just abandoning him to the next guy, if you're giving him like a shove, if you're going to give him an initial push before you move on. All those things have to be coordinated and sometimes communicated on the fly, on the field, to make sure that everybody hits somebody and someone doesn't come through without being hit.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Outside Zone. This is going to be Zone Blocking Schemes 201. Join us maybe in a week. We're going to have 301 for you. We're going to be talking about Inside Zone. Be sure to hit us in the comments. If you have any questions, please throw them in there. It's an opportunity for us to communicate with you. What we're looking for here is to make smarter fans. That's the objective for all of us.